Welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast. Today, my guest is Tufik, the founder of Brands for Less. That is a very, very interesting and impressive business model, not only active in Dubai, but almost in every region in this GCC. I met the business, or I learned about the business model, through the Seamless conference in Dubai. Actually, that really opened up my mind when I first went there last year in Dubai and in Riyadh. I really learned a lot about the retail space, the B2B space, the grocery space in the region. And one of the follow-ups was this podcast, where Tufik really convinced me that the off-price model is very, very living in this region, and he's expanding not only online but only with his own malls. Enjoy the podcast. Tufik, welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast. We are talking today about Brands for Less, a very, very interesting retail concept in the Middle East region. Before I talk too much about the concept and yourself, can you please introduce yourself for a minute and tell us what Brands for Less is doing?
Yeah. First of all, Alex, thank you so much for the hosting me here on this podcast. My name is Tufik Reddy. I'm the founding partner and CEO of BFL Group. BFL Group is the company or the group of companies that runs the off-price business mainly in the Middle East. And under our group falls the different brands of retail. Mainly our main brand is the Brands for Less. In addition to that, we also run the Toys for Less, Homes for Less, Beauty for Less, Luxury for Less, anything under the for less. So we are the largest off-price retailer in the Middle East. We were lucky enough to be the people who introduced the concept of off-price to this part of the world. Today, our presence, we are, of course, headquartered in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and we cover the territory of the GCC. We cover United Arab Emirates. In addition to that, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, and this year we're going to enter our first store in Bahrain. So what we do is we sell branded products for discounted prices. It is a concept that has been extremely popular in the United States of America, and people are considered to be more than customers, to be treasure hunters, going every day and hunting for a treasure, which is a discounted branded product.
Yeah, it's, actually, our initial plan was to record during the Seamless conference in Dubai, happening in 2 weeks, 23rd and 24th of May. I think a colleague of yours is there presenting. Yes. I'm Ayman, and we have a podcast bus recording a couple of interesting sessions. First time when I attended last year, so I my understanding was, okay, most of the concepts, most of the retail concepts, I will see in the Middle East, in Dubai. I might have seen in other parts of the world, but then I learned about so many different brands, retailing brands, B2B brands, and it's working a very different way over there. So some things seems to be very advanced and even ahead of time and ahead of like the game, especially the retail experience and the mall experience. Other things, especially like the digital experience or like the digital channels, seem to be like underdeveloped. So therefore I'm really happy to find even more concepts at a Seamless conference. But it feels like, or it felt to me like last year, it's really happening now. So it's really, if you want to be the place in the world right now when it comes to, we're like in a flourishing place where lots of like new business ideas are discussed and created and accelerated, it seems to be the place is Dubai, or at least the Middle East. Would you are around like for 20 years already. So what's your impression? Am I wrong
Actually, you are 100% right. We are in an extremely dynamic market. Of course, Dubai has been, or the United Arab Emirates has been always a pioneer into attracting new ideas, into creating the flexibility and creating the a very free economy in terms of, you know, advantages being here and operating from here. The support of the government, you know, it's a tax-free economy. And at the same time, the government encourages and supports new ideas. The facility of establishing yourself here, you know, gives you the motive into trying new ideas or, you know, bringing new ideas from all around the world.
Okay, but before we are talking about like the digital experience, and I think Ayman will also talk at the Seamless conference about it. Maybe let's go back a bit in time, and you, yes, and you can share a bit how it all started, because you said it's a well-established concept in the United States and in other parts of the world, and almost 20 years ago, maybe you can state the date here. You started to do it in the region, how did it start?
We started in 1996 in Beirut. Me and my partner, we are both Lebanese. We were raised in Beirut. And we started this concept back in Beirut in 1996. Year 2000, we brought the Brands for Less to Dubai. The first store opened 1st of October, year 2000, which is 23 years ago from now. And it was at the beginning, it was an uphill battle because we wanted to introduce this new concept, which is the off-price business. And, you know, introducing such a concept, especially in countries or part of the world that they don't know about it, and especially in our part of the world, the Arab world, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. So people start questioning why, how, where. And always they think, you know, maybe it's fake, maybe it's used, maybe you buy it by kilo, etc. So educating the people, especially with the absence of social media and the tools that are available today, was a real uphill battle to convince the people what is off-price, and that off-price is part of the cycle of the product. And today, you know, people should go for smart shopping. And, you know, why should you pay the full price whereby you can pay a percentage of the price? The whole idea is to tell people that it's not an issue to put more effort while you are shopping in the store, looking for your size or looking for your color. But at the end of the day, you will come out victorious by paying a fraction of the price. So with time, of course, this extra effort becomes so much enjoyable, and it becomes a treasure hunt experience that people really, really, really enjoy.
And what kind of discounts are we talking about? And where did you get your first merchandise? Because usually for off-price retailing concept, it's all about like access to merchandise, right? So yeah, you need a source somehow. And usually the big brands, they don't deliver their first batches to the off-price retailer. So it's a really complicated and not so easy to scale business. So
of course, you know, at the beginning, first of all, where we got it from the United States. The brands, they don't give to off-price retailers. It's true and wrong. True in a position whereby, in a situation whereby you are a new off-price retailer, but become a good size off-price retailer, it goes the opposite way. The brand needs you because you constitute part of the cycle of the product. So they will know that once they need to really get rid of the product, there is a retailer, there is a B2C operator that will make sure that the item will go directly to the end consumer. So today, at the beginning, it's you have to go through different layers. You will not get the best prices. You will not get the best availability because you are going from a wholesaler to wholesaler to wholesaler. You know, the more you grow, the more these layers get, they disappear. And you reach a point whereby a very big chunk of your business is direct relationships with the brands.
Oh, okay. And was What was it, Brands, that convinced the people to start buying at Brands for Less? Because when I clicked on your brands overview, I saw, for example, a brand like Tchibo. Tchibo is a very well-known brand, obviously, yes, in the region where I'm from. It's from Hamburg, the region where I live. So, but what kind of brands were really the ones that pulled the people in the store back then?
It's good you mentioned Tchibo, because we consider Tchibo was our lucky charm. Tchibo was the product that made us famous in the area. It was, we saw the product by coincidence in one of the countries. And I really fell in love with the product, me and my partner. And said, okay, listen, the price quality ratio is amazing. We brought this. We became, with time, just to go fast forward things, we became exclusive also by hard work and by default and by luck. We became exclusive for this product, which got a lot of traction in the market. People loved it. And, you know, people were coming to the stores. It increased the footfall in our stores like you cannot imagine. It made us famous in Dubai. And, you know, we always hold this product dear to our heart because Crazy. This product really, really, really contributed to our fame.
So, but if you were to ask an average consumer in the Dubai area today about Tchibo and what he or she would think about Tchibo as a brand, A, is it known? Would they say, yeah, I know Tchibo? And B, in a brand range, where does it sit?
Okay, the good thing that really helped with Tchibo in specific is the perception of the people in this part of the world, and I think all around. But, you know, maybe it's more highlighted in this part of the world, is the correlation between German and quality. So for them, automatically, you tick the box of quality once you say German product. So I think this was a big help for us. And today, people, yes, it's a very well-known brand now in Dubai, Tchibo. People love it because of the quality, and we always try to give the quality at affordable prices because it has to go or fall under the DNA of Brands for Less. And, you know, I remember when we started back in the Tchibo product in 2003, I remember in 2005, we had a reporter from Der Spiegel flew from Germany to cover us selling Tchibo product, especially ski items, and it was the headline, Tchibo is selling ski clothes in Dubai.
Really? I've definitely looked this up in the Spiegel archive. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yes.
Okay. Crazy. Okay. But it kind of became so successful that today you're running like many, many stores. Can you give us like, just like a size perspective? So how many stores, revenue wise? Because we are talking so many different like lines, Brands for Less, Toys for Less, Luxury for Less. So what is it exactly?
We crossed 100 stores, lately. And, you know, we're ending, this year with 118 stores. We're opening stores continuously, especially that, you know, we were only concentrating in the United Arab Emirates for all of this time. And it was last year when we started moving, towards the GCC countries. Saudi Arabia, really, there were a lot of changes in terms of, the rules and regulations in Saudi Arabia. And we were able to penetrate this market last year. And we see a lot of potential and growth coming in the coming 3 to 5 years.
Do you have enough access to merchandise to scale those markets?
Yes. Oh, you know, at the end of the day, the population is growing. We just grew from 7 to 8 billion people on this planet, which means more brands are emerging and more brands are producing more to cover this population, which means more leftovers, which means more merchandise for off price.
And do you have also your own brands, you can sell in your store? Because that is also a strategy I've seen in a couple of off price or retailing concepts, that because I don't want to be too dependent on third party brands, they create their own, I don't want to say fake brands, but their own brands with a certain like quality, which appear to be a brand, but they're exclusively owned by the retailer.
No, we don't have private labels. We try to keep ourselves operating within what we promise our customers and what the signboard outside says brands for less. And we wanted the customer to get 100% branded products, not private label, because there are lots of concepts in the value sector that are private label solely. And, you know, we wanted to really to distinguish ourselves from these people by only offering branded products.
Okay. And I saw on you also offer an online store. So in the early day of off-price retail models, usually the brands saw it as a kind of a protected channel. So there was no price transparency because you only were running your offline stores, and whatever happened like in the Dubai Brands for Less store stayed in the Dubai Brands for Less store. Now the whole thing is like moved online somehow. Can you tell us a bit about this step and how is it working for you?
Yes, of course. We really figured out that the importance of online channel, we really sensed that it's coming to this part of the world around 8 or 9 years ago. It's when we started setting up our online platform. It went through a lot of trial and error. We went through a very difficult time at the beginning, you know, to set up our online channel. But, you know, the minute, especially that you have to understand one thing, it's very important to respect the IP rights for the brands. So you cannot utilize the photos, images of the brand. You cannot get them from online and stick them there on your platform. You have to create your own studios. You have to do your own photography. And, you know, this requires much more attention and much more organizing, especially that we will have one piece, two piece, three pieces. So there's a lot of mathematics being done. There's a lot of artificial intelligence utilized to analyze, you know, what to be put online and what is not worth even to be put online. So from the beginning, we as Brands for Less, we have really invested a lot in technology and the and procedures. So what we have done is the online has helped us to reach out to people because the behavior of people has been changing, especially after the COVID-19. People really moved towards online shopping much more than the brick and mortar, or let's say not much more than the brick and mortar. Let's put it more than before of the online shopping. Let's put it this way. The brick and mortar remains to be the major part of the business, of course, especially also, I believe, in this part of the world, because going to the mall or going shopping is part of our daily routine, part of the world, especially because of a certain period of time, we have a little bit of difficult weather conditions, whereby the mall is the place to go to walk, to spend the day, to have your lunch, to go to the movie theater, etc. So it's the place whereby you can go also and see the brand and go shop and, get some footfall to your stores. So, today, yes, the online is increasing the percentage, but, we have done a lot and there's a lot more to be done. We have created the omni channel, which is the direct correlation between the experience of the customer, between the brick and mortar and the online, which is combined by shirt services. You can buy online, you can drop at the or return the item at the shop. You can pick up your online order from the store free of charge. And, it goes vice versa. You are in the store and you cannot find your size. You have this QR code next to the item. You can scan it. You can check if it's available online. You can order it while on your store, either to your home or back to the store. And all of this is combined with a digital wallet, whereby all the money that you spend is you spend from the digital wallet. All the returns come to the digital wallet, and this digital wallet can be used in both channels.
But you would agree that Corona was a big driver into like the offline online migration. So I understand that you have like beyond 10% of your revenues are within the online channel already, correct?
100%. We are at 16% today.
And what was the reaction of the brands when you started to do it? You said you started it like 8 years ago, more or less.
We started 8 years ago. At the beginning, of course, even the brands, you are right, they were a little bit hesitant about, you know, putting the brand online. So sometimes they sell you the merchandise with a condition not to be put online. But, you know, I think even the brands themselves, they have noticed that, you know, online became a major player. And, you know, I don't see much restrictions today like before.
And you said you have limitations when it comes to product availability. So what is your limit? If a product is only available in, let's say, two sizes, three pieces, then you would say it doesn't make sense to make a photo out of it and put it on a model. It's too expensive.
There is a formula that we utilize to analyze the efficiency and the cost factors that takes place based on that. I don't want to give you the wrong example, you know, but sometimes we have one piece, one size, which is not worth putting in light.
Okay, got it. And we talked about before we started like the podcast recording, like in Europe, we saw like 15 years ago in 2006, an emergent time of so-called shopping clubs, right? So Vente Privée was like a huge shopping club in France in 2005, 2006. Then a lot of like copycats started by VIP, Brands for Friends acquired by eBay later, Limango, which I helped actually to acquire for the Otto Group. I think now the strongest shopping club for kids or young families in Europe. And their promise towards the brands was, okay, we can put your stuff online, but it's behind a wall. So it's, you know, Google cannot see it. Google cannot see the price. And it's only for a very limited time. Let's say a day or two. Like it's just kind of a temporary, thing. And therefore there's no risk. No brand value will be destroyed. So back then it totally made sense. But obviously those concepts really had a problem to scale because you don't see a global shopping club. So Vente Privée was never able to expand globally. And I guess you have seen those concepts because you're around now for 25 years in this market. So what's your view? Is it something you can apply in the region or you'd say doesn't make sense anymore?
Okay. You know, the shopping clubs have been part of the cycle, of course, of the off-price in general. And as you have said before, you know, when you have a lot of restrictions with the brand themselves, you know, they would have rather having the item sold at a shopping club rather than going into a full-fledged off-price retail. And this is something that we know. But, you know, as you have mentioned, these clubs were not able to really scale in terms of scaling the output or selling the output of the brand itself. I think these shopping clubs could still operate on periodical basis because, you know, it has to be periodical basis. And at the same time, I think there is a room more for the luxury item rather than the medium brands.
Okay, got it. But just talking about like the luxury items, you've also started like a different lines. You said like homes for less and luxury for less. What does it mean? Would you say then brands for less has like a certain limit when it comes to brands? So Gucci won't be
exactly.
But tell me about it. What is it? How do you draw the line? And what is acceptance criteria?
The idea was the following. You know, in Brands for Less, we have the it's a place whereby you have the value level of prices, branded products at value level of prices, and within the Brands for Less, there's a certain percentage, certain formula whereby we go and present the products, and we call them gold label. And these gold label are medium upper, brands, that, you know, the price tag does not exceed, let's say, a 200 dirham or 250 dirham. Once we start going into a price tag that goes in the thousands of dirhams, we have opted to go to a separate type of store whereby we don't want the people to get confused coming into the store and start thinking, you know, these people went crazy, the prices are going up, you know, some people will mix, okay? We decided that everything that is in the high-end world, and we're talking here high-end, we're talking the high-end Italian brands such as Gucci, we're talking about Armani, we're talking about Dolce & Gabbana, we're talking about, you know, all the brands, the high-end brands, whereby, you know, of course, you will get a discount on them. Definitely, you will not get the same discount that you get for the medium brands at Brands for Less, because at Brands for Less, we promise our customers to get 70 to 80% from the RRP. While in the Luxury for Less, we don't have to maintain this because, first of all, it's not attainable. You cannot buy them for these discounted prices. This is one. Two, which means you cannot offer them for such discounted prices. So for us to maintain our promise to the people, we have totally put a separate store under Luxury for Less, which can offer maybe a discount of 50 to 60% max.
And how many Luxury for Less stores are there already?
We already opened four so far.
Okay, and but it's like on the in the online in the online shop, it's like under the same brand. It's just like another category.
For the time being, there is a sub page that is for Luxury, but we are working now to launch the separate website, which is Luxury for Less.
Okay, got it. But let's stay for a minute on Luxury for Less, because if I remember my time within the Lexi Shopping Club scenery a bit, you got like the standard brands like the Adidas, Hilfiger. Yes, there was a way to get like merchandise. Not always easy, and all those brands were like super protective and say, no, don't put it online, but there was a way. But there was also a saying, yeah, no chance Armani, Gucci, Montblanc ever will agree to such a deal or such like a sales channel. Now you have a growing and scaling channel with such brands. So how is this working out? Do you have a direct line with like the Gucci people, or is like are there other channels for this kind of merchandise?
Actually, listen, in our type of business, you should have a hotline with everyone. Now, sometimes someone is on the other side of the line, and sometimes, you know, they don't need you for the time being, so you don't find anyone on the other side of the line. Now, we know that we continue to scale our Brands for Less. Luxury for Less is something that it's a new baby. It's still growing. And the more opportunity is prevailing in the market, the more we are able to scale this business. I'm talking about Luxury for Less. So when we put our business plan, it's mainly for Brands for Less. And we say, okay, we can add 2, 3, 4. You cannot scale with the same percentage, just to be very open with you. We can scale it, but not with the same percentage for sure.
Okay. Just like, I just clicked like the Gucci category on your website. You see, for example, a girl's dress, 1,400 dirham, which is more or less $300, like roughly three. So it's still a kind of expensive. Nothing you would buy like just walking by and say, okay, let's buy this 400 euro thing or $400 thing. But let's stick then with like the offline channel. You say you're still expanding and you're choosing mall places where you put your store in. Obviously that's first choice in the region. Otherwise you don't have an air condition and nobody will walk around. So it must be mall based. But my understanding when I was in Riyadh and in Dubai is like, even the malls, because there's such a big shift from offline to online, do have struggles to scale. So it's not like it's not a given anymore that every mall that opens up works, because like the consumption is kind of not limited. It's growing, but there's a stronger growth in the offline channel, in the online channels than in the offline channels. So you really need to be picky about the malls. Can you tell us a bit more here? So status of the malls in the region?
Of course, the malls until today remain a basic factor in terms of, you know, scaling your business. Because as I told you, the mall is part of our day-to-day activities in this part of the world. But at the same time, as you have mentioned, you know, the online is growing. Yes, we agree. But you have to remember also the population is growing. And the whole thing, it falls under the demand and supply, like we see in everything, in development, in construction, in housing, in everything. Two things will play a major role in more the success of a mall. First of all, something that is niche in terms of offering, and each mall you will find that specializing in a certain service being provided or certain facility that is there that is unique from others. And, you know, the management and the expertise into managing a mall, which is extremely complicated. Now, today, of course, we are always going and fetching our space in the major malls. At the same time, going into the malls, you have to remember we have been lately being described as a traffic puller to the malls, and which made us really be able to negotiate very good deals with the malls because we occupy large spaces and we get very good deals with the malls, which is at a certain point, we reached a point whereby we do club deals with the malls. So you go to a developer who has owns, let's say, 10 malls, 15 malls, and you make one deal with them for opening 15 stores in 15 different malls. At the same time, lately, after we started our flagship store in Motor City, we opened our eye into creating our own shopping center. So today we opened the first BFL shopping center in Motor City. It's a small shopping center of 5,000 square meter, whereby Brands for Less and sisters of Brands for Less, part of the group, occupy 3,500 square meter of it. And 1,500 square meter is being rented for service providers. So the first venture that we have taken to BFL shopping mall was extremely successful. And now we have a team of people going on the ground looking for land that we can buy and build our own shopping center. So this is the phase that we're going
to do. Nice. Yes. And what is the like target size of the shopping center you're looking
at? 5,000 square meter. Is more than,
and you would need like more or less 50% of that, right?
We usually occupy 2/3 of that minimum.
Nice, you are the traffic bringer. But what you find then in a standard mall, so not a BFL owned one, but like a standard one, a big one, would you find the other brands with a normal price too? So can it be a mall where you are selling a Mango T-shirt for 60% less and on the other side of the mall, you'll find like the Mango normal price store?
If this was an obstacle, you will not find us in any mall. Today, we exist in all of the malls of the UAE except two malls. You know, we are everywhere. So you will find us in all the malls. So mainly. So today, at the end of the day, again, it's one item, one size, and, you know, it's a treasure hunt. It's totally different experience.
Okay. Then let's focus on the customer a bit. Do you have a digital channel apart from the web shop where you have like a constant communication with customer? I don't know, a newsletter, a WhatsApp group, something where you can push offers and people come to the store?
We are extremely active into this. And, you know, we have a lot of, we really adopted a lot of techniques in terms of communicating with the customer. Because this channel of communication is extremely important. Of course, the most important thing is to create the loyalty program. And we believe our loyalty program is a great success. And through the loyalty program, you create the database of your clients, of your customers, and you keep communicating with them. We communicate with them on all frontiers, social media, WhatsApp, emails. You know, today, at the end of the day, the smartphone, is an integral part of the life of the consumer. And the more you can communicate with this smartphone, the more you are able to keep your customer closer to you. So we do everything to stay in communication with the smartphone, whatever it is.
But is it, how tailored is this communication? Can you send me like a message? Hey, Alex, you've bought this Chibo product. Next week, we have like a big new Chibo line coming in, and this is like your discount code. Is it like a very tailored one?
Always very tailored one. Today with the, and I thank God for the artificial intelligence that is available. The tools that are available today are really, really like make life so much easy for traders and for business people. Because today, you know, you have these analytics that will really guide you how to serve the customer. What is the interest of the customer? You know, everything today, all the social media is based on your interest. You know, how many seconds you stop at the video, what type of videos you like, and accordingly, you're being fed. And this is all is artificial intelligence. So you take these logics or part of these logics and you apply it into your business, and you will know what is the interest of your customer. You will know the shopping behavior of your customer, what he bought, what type of clothes, and accordingly, the artificial intelligence will help you to correlate between the inventory that you have and the interest of the customer, and to make sure that your sales increase with that.
Okay, my understanding is today in your organization, there are more people focusing on managing real estate, running the stores, hiring people and building real estate. But there's also already a lot of people taking care of the website because there's like a new one, luxury for less is coming out.
The biggest team now, Alex, is the people who are handling the social media, handling the analytics, handling, we are so much spending in this department.
But how many people are we talking? Just like to understand your
business. We're talking now, we have a team of more than 25 people.
And where do you find the talent? Because in some other podcasts I had like also with a Seamless guest and together with Lena, my co-host here in the series, they're always complaining about the talent availability in the region.
Yes.
Is it getting better? If you want to really have now your superb TikTok specialist, because TikTok is huge in the region. And as you said, if it's all algorithm based, where do you find this person?
I will tell you something. We are open in terms of recruitment. So we go and hunt talents from all around the world. So it's not only local hunting. It's we can hunt them from back from any country in the world. Getting them is challenging, but the more challenging is maintaining them and keeping them, because once they are here, they are part of the market, and you know, everybody is going wants to take the shortcut and start taking them from different companies. So the most important thing is to create the atmosphere, is to create the rewarding system in your company for you to maintain the talent. So first, and this, we have invested a lot on this. If you come and visit our facility, you will see a full floor of entertainment, gym.
I have time before the Seamless. I will come. Is it in Dubai? I will come.
Please come. I want to show you. You know, they can even, you know, we have sleeping pods. If someone is working and he feels like good nap in the afternoon, take his siesta. You know, he can go and, or she can go. We have a ladies' room. We have a men's room, sleeping pods, go sleep. We have massage chairs. We have, pool tables. We have ping pong. We have, gaming. You know, we try to create this entertainment atmosphere. We want these people to feel that they belong to the company, that this is their family, and they cannot go out of their family. So maintaining talent is extremely important.
But we've learned in our business, and we are hiring people worldwide, that we need to go fully remote, especially like for digital talent. I know that's not possible, like for on-site talent you need in managing like retail stores, but for special roles like the TikTok expert, for example, to stick with this example, you can go remote first. So this person could live and sit and work from Pakistan or India, whatever. Would that work in your culture? Is this possible to connect remotely?
It is possible. a remote working also, it remains until today, it's a very argumented story, because there are conflicting studies, statistics about productivity versus working from home. Mm. And, you know, still no one has reached the optimum level of, you know, productivity versus flexibility output. We are open for it. We give our existing staff also options to work from home a few days during the month for us to keep on measuring the productivity versus availability. And we didn't reach a final conclusion of that. But, you know, we have few people that are operating from India remotely, something to do with the IT jobs.
Mm. Okay, so it's possible. So that, so but you
definitely possible. But it's the best. We don't know. I cannot answer you yet, to be very frank.
Yeah, but it's interesting that so you're offering like a working place in one of the most exciting regions in the world, but you already have to upgrade your office setup with like pool tables, sleeping pods, like your own canteen. Yeah, it's interesting to hear. It's interesting to hear that. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to stay like competitive in this region. Okay, so I've heard you're going to end this year with almost 120 stores. So it's a huge growth. It's a huge growth you're managing. Anything else you're looking forward in 2023?
2023, you know, we were looking into reaching our target, but we are really overachieving, and I'm very happy, and I cannot ask anything more, to be very frank with you. The only thing is that we always hope, you know, things will always be smooth. We don't have surprises like COVID-19, you know, and, you know, we keep on focusing on our business plans.
Yeah, but it's so cool and refreshing to hear, because if you're talking with European-centered retailers, they are all struggling. Offline retailers and online retailers are struggling. So first COVID obviously bumped like the online ones, and then now we are recession, Ukraine war, and everybody's saying, you know, it's like it's hard to even achieve like 2019 numbers, and a lot of banks. Yeah. And it's cool to hear that we are talking now about a region where everything is kind of booming. The offline channel is booming. The online channel is booming. It's like, but just getting me to the last part and last questions here of the podcast, especially within the mall and the mall concept. So is there like certain concepts also dying in the regions? Because when we are reading and like educating ourselves about the region, it's always about the mall. But my understanding is like the concepts that have been deployed within the GCC regions 20 years ago, some of them are already outdated and not accepted by the people anymore. So what kind of concept is that? Is it old malls or other shopping concepts not working anymore?
I think it's a matter. Okay, let's start from the, you're asking about the brand or asking about the mall. In terms of you're asking about the mall, always, you know, people like newness of the mall. They like the new attraction of the mall that will really make them. And, you know, remember, your demographics changed in Dubai. Let's say, if we take Dubai as an example, it changed from one place to another. So I've been living here in the country more than 32 years. And, you know, we used to have Dera and Bar Dubai in the past. And we saw how the whole demographics changed. This new Dubai did not exist when I was here. Because I came here in 1992. So all of these, you know, the whole geography has changed. All demographics has changed. So, you know, they shift. New areas are coming, is being established. New malls are coming to cater for these areas. New ideas are coming, and people shift from one place to another. And always they want the new mall. So you have to be proactive, and you have to be reactive to change with the behavior of the consumer. This is from a mall point of view. From a brand point of view, you know, every brand goes through cycle, reaches peak and, you know, starts going down. There are brands, of course, but most of the brands, you see them go through cycles. Some of them, they go through one cycle. Some of them, you find them go through many cycles. So you see the brand dying, and then you see the brand itself resurrecting after a few years. And this we've seen with many brands. You remember Lacoste died and resurrected. You know, there are lots of examples that you can give. And some brands, you know, they just vanish.
Okay. So, yeah. But so what's definitely sticks and what I will definitely remember out of this podcast is it's booming if you're doing it right and you're starting to build your own molds, which is also like super, super good. But, and right now you're looking for mall projects only in the Dubai region or like in all GCC regions. So also like in Riyadh, in
the GCC region. Yes.
Okay. Nice, nice. So we definitely have to make an update like next year.
I think we are in the right place at the right time. This area is going through, I think in the coming 7 years at least, this area is going to be the most viable economic region in the world. All the traction towards this area and this beautiful competition between UAE, Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Is creating more momentum and creating more perfection of service and facilities. And, you know, it's creating this very beautiful business atmosphere that's attracting investors from all around the world.
Very cool. So we're going to meet at the Sleeping Pot in 2 or 3 weeks from now. Thank you for your time, Tufik.